to turn to Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs 17, 17. Proverbs 17, 17. Psalms are right in the middle of the Bible there. Proverbs are the next book to the right. Proverbs 17, 17. Appreciate you being here this morning, and hope this will be a blessing to you. I think it will. One verse, and then you keep your Bibles open to Proverbs. There are a few places we'll stop and visit there, but look at one verse here. Proverbs 17, 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The first part, let me read that again. A friend loveth at all times. All times. When things are good, when things are bad. When things are going well, when they're not going so well. When you're likable, when you're not likable. When you're going through a hard time, when you're not going through a hard time. When you've got money, when you don't have money. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let's pray, and I'm going to speak on that topic this morning. A friend loveth at all times. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the love that you wrote in your own blood. Every drop of blood that fell from the cross that day was your life being given in love so that we could live. No greater love than this, than a man will lay down his life for his friends. As the old song goes, we found a friend in Jesus. There's not another friend like you, no, not one. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. Let us just kind of dwell on you a little bit. We get very self-consumed and very self-focused. And we've got a friend that loves at all times, and we walk away. Run away sometimes. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I do pray that you'll speak to their heart this morning. Maybe some folks in here have forgotten that you love them. There may be some people in here this morning who have seen hate from humans like they've never seen before. And we're so focused on the hate, we forgot that you love. May we see you. May we realize you transcend all things. Lord, we put it in your hands. I pray you'll speak to us here this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. When I went looking for a wife, I wanted to find someone who would not only be my wife and my companion, the mother of my children, but I wanted to find someone who would be my friend. And Janet's been my friend for over 35 years now. June will make 35 years married. We need friends. We need true friends. However, sometimes it's difficult to find true friends. Sometimes we find that the ones that we thought were our friends were not really true friends. Because a friend loveth at all times. Didn't say they agree with us. Didn't even say they like us. But they love it at all times. I just want to talk about a friend of mine this morning. Now, men, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave his love for it, gave his life for it. And our bridegroom does not just walk out on us when things don't go his way. We're the bride of Christ. And I found that men and women will fail us. But Jesus never fails us. His love never fails. I also want to make sure you understand that just because the love of some human fails us, maybe even someone who claims to be saved, born again, supposed to be sanctified, and that person's love fails us, it doesn't mean that God has stopped loving us. Don't blame God for the lack of love shown by His children. God does not need a human to give us His love. We can experience God's love through some other human, but God is not totally restricted to such an expression of love. Jesus is our friend, our greatest friend, and a true friend that loveth at all times. Number one, just got a few points here. There is, if a friend loveth at all times, God's not going to ask us to do anything. We're supposed to love our enemies. God's not going to ask us to do something He doesn't do. Okay? So number one, if that's the case, there is never a time that God does not love us. Now let that sink in a little bit. Well, I don't like this. I didn't like how this was and what this, you know. And you know, we actually have a pretty skewed vision of what love is these days. Love is not the same as like. See, when we're in school, you know, so I like him. I like her. And you like him a lot. And you like him a lot, a lot, a lot. And then you think you're in love. Okay? Well, love is really not an extension of like. Because if it is, then if things start getting knocked out from underneath of it that we don't like anymore, then love comes collapsing down. Love is of God. You've heard me say it so many zillions of times by now. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Love is of God. It's a decision. There is never a time that God does not love us. In our verse there, in Proverbs 17:70, it says, a friend loveth. He has an affection for, still wants us, if you will, at all times. It says a brother is born for adversity. In other words, when we get ourselves into tight spots, when affliction comes, when distress comes, when anguish comes, when tribulation comes and troubles come, he says a brother is born. He said they walk along life with us. When things are tough, they're right there with us. Turn the page there to Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24 says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now that word there, that little phrase there, kind of gives you the idea, a man who hath friends must show himself friendly. He must show himself willing to be broken for the sake of the other. To make little out of yourself. To steal from self for the sake of others. He says, you want somebody who cares about you, care about somebody else. Be willing to put yourself aside for somebody else. Be willing to be broken for somebody else. Jesus gave his life for his friends. He was broken. It says, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother and adheres to us than a brother. Listen, that friend's Jesus Christ. There's never a time that he doesn't love us. You think you know what love is and what loyalty is, but you haven't seen anything compared to the love of Christ who's even closer than a brother. That's what he's saying there. You think family should stick by our side when tough times come? Yeah, they should. But there's a friend named Jesus that's even more loyal than the closest family member. There's never a time that he does not love us, because a friend loveth at all times. Number two, God loved us first. God loved us first. You could probably quote these verses, so I'll just read them for you. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, amends maker for our sins. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. In other words, he didn't love us because of something he was going to get out of it. He loved us because he decided to love. There's a lot of folks we don't like. In fact, there's sometimes God doesn't like us. But there was never a time he didn't love us. We are not loved because God was so impressed with our love toward him that he couldn't help himself but love us. Now listen, it's kind of a humiliating, humbling in one way, knowing that God loves us, and it's not because we're so irresistible and lovable. You know, again, when you go back to school, your first love, they like me. He likes me. Maybe it's my hair. You know, maybe it's because I'm smart in class, or maybe it's because I'm really good in choir class, or I'm really good in gym class, or on the sports team, but they love me. And that's not really a good description of love. Now, I know that there's certain things that attract you with certain people. I understand that. But the fact is, you say, it brings some people to the point. Now, watch me, especially teens, because you're thinking about things, guys. We're thinking about things. You say, well, you know, I don't measure up to this person. I don't measure up to that person. And we start to say, well, I don't have this attribute and that attribute, so no one's going to love me. That's a lie. I have found people love different things. I think I told you this. It was some time years ago. There was a couple in the church where I grew up, and they sang in my choir. When I was 18, I started directing the choir at the little church I was at, and they sang in my choir. And when I was 23, I felt like I needed to make a move to go an independent Baptist church, and where they still believe the Bible and still preach the Bible and so forth. So we left. We hated to leave everybody, but we left. Wasn't real awful long. They were saved too. I knew they were. They left too, and they came over, and they ended up singing my choir at the new church, because by the time I was a choir director, and they sang over there. Anyway, he's a fairly tall guy, and she's a fairly tall woman, and she's not fat but well upholstered. And you know, she's one of those things she kind of fought with all her life. And the fact is, I remember going down the hallway one day, and I heard some lady tell her, and she said, boy, you're looking so good. You've lost so much weight. And she said, well, it's all over. What do you mean it's all over? My husband doesn't like it. He said, if I wanted to marry a skinny woman, I would have married a skinny woman. Now, see, we look at it, and he was just trying to be, the fact is, he liked the woman with something to hang on to. And so there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not trying to get inappropriate here, but the fact is, everybody likes a little bit something. So just because you don't measure up to somebody else's description of what perfect is, it has nothing to do with whether you're loved. Cyberbullying and all this crazy stuff that goes on these days. You know, picking kids apart and all their bad aspects. Listen, you remember something. Listen. What they say has nothing to do with the fact that God loves you. Loves you with an everlasting love. He loved us first. It's humbling to know that he doesn't necessarily love us because we're such a great catch. And all God is getting out of us is a broken vessel made of dirt and full of sin. That's kind of humbling. But it's also comforting in that sense that it's not that he's not loving us because of some wonderful thing we are. It wasn't that we drew God to us in the first place, but it was God's capacity to love that brought him to us. That means that our unloveliness will not chase him away. Our faults are not going to chase him away. Watch this. He knows all our faults before we ever fault. And he loves us anyway. I remember someone telling me this going, be honest with you, I know I talk and chat and this kind of stuff, but be honest, it's very hard for me. I'm kind of the guy, I'm really more comfortable going in the corner and sitting still and being quiet. And someone wants to talk to me, it's fine. You want to talk about shop? I'm terrible at small talk. I'm very awful at small talk. I remember, you know, just thinking, well, you know, you don't have this and you don't have that and this and that and other thing. And I'm thinking that to myself. And I remember one time in high school, somebody was talking about this and that and the other thing. They were struggling with some peer pressure. And I said, just don't do so-and-so. And they said, well, that's easy for you because you're very self-assured. Me? Honest, very insecure. Personally. But I was secure. I didn't understand this until later. But I was not self-assured. But I was God-assured. God is still in control. My mind's very logical. It's just the way it is. But this is the rule. This is the way it works. Done. Let's settle this and go on. I can't remember all this. You know, all the things that people want to do. Well, what if this? What if no? God loves you. Settle it. It's all done. Well, I'm not much. That doesn't matter. He made you what you are. He made you. Listen, it could be that he's got something special because he gets more glory when we're not something special. God loved us first. Number three. Kind of goes along with that. God loves us even though we're sinners. There's never a time that God does not love us. God loved us first, and God loves us even though we're sinners. Sit tight. I'll quote this for you. Matthew 11:18 says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." A friend of publicans and sinners. A friend loveth at all times. He'll sit at my dinner table. You want to say that? He'll live in our house. We ought to try to keep it clean. But he loves us anyway. You've quoted, you ought to be able to quote it. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet, Christ died for us. No greater love is this than a man will lay down his life for his friend." That's love. We're a mess. I got this shelf right here, and I can hardly eat out in public without getting something on my. I always wear these white shirts. I was doing real well. We went out and celebrated Sterling III's, my son's 30th birthday, and we went down here to Chili's. And so help me, I was still working on the appetizer. I had this big old spot right there in the front. I mean, you go down, you get the chips and the salsa. For 50 cents, you can get that hot queso. It's only 50 cents. 50 cents! It's good stuff. You put the hot, and I had one of those, but their chips are kind of on the thin side. And just about the time I got this far over the shelf, it just kind of broke down. And I could see it coming. It was a good one. You know, it was one of those all curled up, you know, a little greasy, you know, and you know, big pile of that queso on there, and it was coming in for a landing, and boom, the landing gear gives way, and it kind of all ends up on my shirt. And it was, so help me, it was this big. I couldn't believe it. We're a mess. My wife didn't even get embarrassed. Well, she was probably embarrassed, but she wouldn't let anybody know. You know, I usually walk out of the restaurant with spots on my shirt. You know, I've got them. You know, that's why I wear a suit coat. I take my suit coat off while I'm eating. I take my tie and I put it over here. And she gave me a card this morning, and it was very, 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 very nice, and so forth. And to be honest with you, I read that thing and I thought, man, she didn't get a very good deal. The card said talked about how wonderful I am, but the fact is, she didn't get a very good deal. I'm a mess. Why would God love us? God loves us because God is love. Our sinfulness cannot cause God to stop loving us. Let me say, our sinfulness cannot stop God from loving us. Well, I blew it this time. There's no way I can go back to God and ask forgiveness. I've been doing this over and over again. He's tired of seeing me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's already paid for the sin on the cross. He's just simply transferring it again from the account. You ask forgiveness. Well, there it is again. Here it is. Clean you all back up. God loved us first. He loves us even though we're sinners. Number four, God loves us even though that love demands a sacrifice. God loves us even though it demands a sacrifice. Love is sacrificial. If you only love because you like the person, then you don't really love them yet. Love doesn't have to kick in until you have to love the unlovely. Do you remember that old show? In fact, I think I saw it back on one of those old-time TV show stations now. Love Boat. Remember that thing? I should have watched it. You know we should have watched it. But anyway, I would watch it. And I remember one time they did this wedding on the boat. And it's all beautiful and this and that. And they gave out the vows. And they got Captain Stooping, you know, doing the vows and all this stuff. And then it says, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, as long as we both shall love. Didn't say as long as we both shall live. It says as long as we both shall love. The world has this funny idea that it's such a backwards way of thinking. It's so twisted. She deserves to be loved, and I can't do it. So out of my love for her, I'm going to divorce her. Ever hear that? I have. Well, I love them enough to let them be loved like they should be able to be loved, and so I'm going to release them. Mm-mm. You never loved them because love never fails. Because love is of God, and God never fails. You're thinking about self. You added this person to your life to enhance your life. And once that person is no longer, you don't feel like a person any longer enhancing your life, you're going to get rid of them. Now, maybe you started your marriage like that. But I tell you what, God can fix it and make it sweeter than it's ever been. Let him love that person through you. You'd be surprised what things can happen. Number four, well, I give three. God loves, love is sacrificial. Not only are we not worth anything, but God had to pay an extremely high price to get us back. We're not worth much to begin with, and then he had to pay his great big price, his only begotten son, to get us back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The reason that's such a famous verse, everybody learns it in vacation Bible school and Sunday school, is because you don't forget it. Don't take it lightly. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I like you all a whole lot, but I'm not going to give one of my granddaughters for you. Wouldn't do it. You're on your own. I wouldn't even give my kids for you. Most of the time. Listen, 1 John 4 says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God, that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In order for God to continue to love us, God had to meet the requirements of justice, so that we could go into his presence. And the justice demanded a sacrifice. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Love requires a sacrifice. Number five, God's love is unstoppable. You know this, you could probably quote it, but I want to put it in there and put it in perspective. God's love is unstoppable. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, in other words, we're going to have tribulation here. It says, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is unstoppable. The next time somebody wants you to think that you're not worth anything, you remember something. God's love is unstoppable. There's somebody who loves us. The problem is we want to think, well, I want to be loved because I am something special. That's pride. We're not something special. I told you, we're a cracked pot, full of sin. But he loves us with an everlasting love. That gives us number six. God's love is everlasting. It's unstoppable. And even if no one tried to stop it, it doesn't wear out. It's everlasting. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I will love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, sometimes we get convicted, and we get God brings up something and makes us feel bad, and we always think God doesn't love us because he's making us feel bad. No, he's making us feel bad so we'll confess our sins so we can come closer to his presence. He's a consuming fire. We can't go into his presence. Sin cannot be in his presence. And yet he loves us and he wants us there. Justice has to be solved. It has to be settled. It has to be, what's the word I'm looking for? It has to be cared for. His love is perpetual. It's everlasting. It's beyond, watch, beyond what the mind can comprehend. That word, when it says everlasting, means beyond the vanishing point. Further than we can see. Don't put a cap on God's love. Listen, don't try to explain God's love in human terms. Through human limitations. There is no limit to his love. There is nothing that's going to stop it. It's beyond what we can fathom. It's everlasting. He loves at all times. Number seven. God continues to love us even when we stop loving him. A friend loveth at all times. You know what a friend says? Well, they're having a bad day. We'll come back and talk a little. We'll talk tomorrow. Having a bad day, that's all right. Call me when you're ready. John 13:1. Last night before Christ is going to be crucified, it says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. We've covered that passage before. Watch this. He loved them, though they were more concerned about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom after the crucifixion. He loved them, though Peter was going to deny Jesus. He even loved Judas. He was going to betray him. Met in the garden, he says, friend. Him who seek ye, friend. Number eight. God loves us even when we wander off. Father, the prodigal son waited on the porch. Obviously he was, because he says when he saw his son coming back, he saw him from afar off. And he ran to meet him. Did he like what his son was doing? Mm-mm. His son had been in the hog pen, eating the same slop. Probably didn't smell real well. Wasn't living in a hotel where you get a clean bath every day and clean shower and all this stuff. But when he shows up, Dad flings his arms around him. Said, "My son wasn't dead, he's alive. He was lost, he's found." Loves him stink and all. I mentioned Hosea. God told Hosea, I want you to show my people how much I love them. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and marry a harlot, a woman of the evening. Have some kids. And he knew what was going to happen. She was going to run off and play the harlot. Hosea 3:1 says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods and love flagon of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a omer of barley and a half omer of barley. And I said to her, Thou shalt abide for many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So I will be for thee. So for the children shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness." You go back and read Hosea. Most men don't want to take a woman back after she's cheated. So how do you do that? God can do that. That's the whole purpose here. Even when we wander off, God loves us. Number 9, God is loving us even when he has to speak the hurtful truth. He loveth at all times. Don't question his love. We've already established that. Well, I hurt him, so he's just trying to hurt me back. That might be what man does. That's not what God does. A friend speaks the truth in love. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Love rejoices in the truth, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. What are we saying? God loves us enough to tell us the truth. We may be blown in our lives, but he loves us enough to tell us the truth. Now, I'm not using this as an excuse. Honest, I'm not. I'm human like anybody else. But I've had people say, I said, there's nobody else around here that will say the things you say, Pastor Walsh. Someone here said they had a friend here that came in, they went back for dinner and said, "Why was he mad?" And the person said, "Well, he wasn't mad. He was telling us the truth." Now, honest to goodness, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at anybody. Never have been. Not angry with anybody. Concerned about some things. But the fact is, if we're going to do what God wants us to do, we're going to have to do it right. And sometimes he has to step on our toes. He has to tell us the truth. God is still loving us even when he's rebuking us. God has not forsaken us when he's upset with us. Other friends may do that, and you may expect God to do that, but God's love is just as great and just as deep as it has ever been, even when he's giving us reproof. If God did not love us, he wouldn't bother with us. God could just destroy us and send us to hell and move on. For God's not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness. but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Number 10, God is loving us even when he has to chasten us. Listen, we're going to get some places and you think, well, listen, everybody else is mad at me. Now God's mad at me. God doesn't love me either. That's a lie. It's right out of hell. He may be chasing us. We may have put ourselves in position. But what we ought to do is do exactly what that prodigal son says when he came to himself. He says, oh, my soul, my dad's servants live better than this. I could go home and work for dad and do better than what I'm doing here. I don't even have to be his son, and I can take a step up. Goes home and says, Dad, I don't deserve to be your son. He's, get a new coat, put a ring on his finger. Let's kill the fatted calf. My son's home. That's love. But God chastens whom he loves. Hebrews 12:5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son despise not, don't make little of, don't cross it off, don't shrug it off. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Don't fall over. God's not here to beat you to pieces. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son in whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Number 11. Listen to me. God loves us when no one else does. God loves us when no one else does. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You don't expect if anybody's going to love you, expect mom and dad. And the fact is, there are people who say, well, my mom and my dad didn't care about me. I guess no one cares about me. No, that's not true. That's not true. He's our friend and he loveth at all times. Now, what does that bring us to? Believe in his love. We've seen it. Believe in his love. There's never a time he doesn't love. He loves you at all times. Even when he's rebuking us, he's loving us. He loves us when we're sinners. He loves us when we wander off. He doesn't like those things, but he continues to love. Believe in his love. Watch this. Kids, I want you to look up here. Are we taking notes or what are we doing? Well, okay. I want you to listen, okay? Because here's some things I want you to hear because I love you. God loves us. I want you to believe in his love. I don't know all your backgrounds, by the way. I grew up with a mom and dad, and I knew who my parents were. I knew who my sisters were. I knew that dad was going to come home every night. Mom was going to be fixing dinner. I grew up in a place like that. I don't know what you grow up in. Let me tell you this. I thought about you all the whole time I was writing y'all and everybody else while I was writing this message. God loves you. We love you. What I just did there, I did it because I love you. Because I want you to know that God loves you with an everlasting love. And watch this. We need to be willing to accept his love. Oh, yeah. God loves us. Yeah. Accept it. You need to accept it. If you don't accept it, you won't experience it. Watch this. We need to rest in his love. Everything else goes haywire. Rest in his love. You know the problem is? Everything goes haywire and we turn from his love and go try to find something we call love out there. We've walked away from him. When we push him out of our lives, we're pushing all the blessings out of our lives. But it all goes with it. We need to trust him. We need to receive him. We need to pray to him. Listen, I can face tomorrow because Jesus loves me. We need to know that Jesus loves us and truly get this settled in our hearts. God's love outweighs all criticism and hate of other people. Let me say it again. God's love outweighs all the criticism and all the hate that other people bring. I mentioned this a little while ago. Cyberbullying. By the way, if someone's trying to bully you over the internet, get off the internet. They're stupid. Stop listening to them. Stop listening to them. We don't need to listen to them. Wonder what they're saying now. Who cares? They're mean, hateful people. I don't want to run with that bunch anyway. Somebody a whole lot bigger and more important than they are loves me. He loves me enough to die for me. And it doesn't matter what they say. The problem with those boys is that they don't know that God loves them either. Why? Because they're trying to make themselves feel better about themselves and increase their estimation and their self-worth by lowering the worth of others in their mind. Bullies say such things, well, you're ugly, you're unattractive, you're stupid, you're taking up space, you ought to die, you ought to give up. The fact is, all those things are probably things that they're insecure about their own selves. The whole world may hate me, but I'll tell you this, God loves me. He loveth at all times. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He loves me with an everlasting love. And by the way, he made me the way I am. So if I've got a big nose that comes down to a point, it's his fault. And I can never be separated from his love. Now, most likely there's someone in this room, though he or she may try to live above it, who feels as if no one loves him or her. Maybe you never thought your parents loved you. But Jesus loved you. And he loves you now. Maybe you don't think your spouse loves you. But Jesus loves you. Maybe you don't think your children love you. Don't hear from them much. Growing up out living their own lives. God loves you. Maybe you feel as if no one has ever loved you. I can reassure you that God has loved you from before the foundation of the world. And I can reassure you that God loves you right now so much that he died for you. And you know what? Even if you haven't accepted Christ yet, God does not want to lose you. But you don't know what I did. I know, but God does. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When all others have forsaken us, Jesus still loves us. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing on. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I have a friend that loves at all times, and I hope you know him. I'd like to introduce him to you if you don't know him yet. A friend of Jesus, oh, what bliss, that one so vile as I should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the sky. A friend when other friendships cease, a friend when others fail, a friend who gives me joy and peace, a friend when foes assail. A friend when sickness lays me low. A friend when death draws near. A friend as through the veil I go. A friend to help and cheer. A friend when life's short race is o'er. A friend when earth is past. A friend to meet on heaven's shore. A friend when home at last. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No such a friend who will not leave us. No, not one. No, not one. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. I love that line. There's no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. This is not an imaginary friend. This is a walk with a personal God. He loveth at all times. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Thank you for loving us. Just a vessel of clay, broken, cracked, chipped, and full of nothing of value. And yet you love us with an everlasting love. Our heads are bowed.